Hello, I'm a Mac.
And I'm a PC. Mac, I'm going to be going away for a while.
Oh, where are you going?
Well, over to IT. I've been getting these funky error messages that keep popping up.
Oh, that's annoying. I'm sorry about
that. WMP.dll.
What?
I don't even know what that means. It just happens. Do you know what it means?
No, Max, don't get those cryptic error messages. Are they sick, too?
Well, yeah, he's error 692, and then syntax error down the end, down here.
Fatal error.
Yeah. Don't worry, pal. You'll be up and running spreadsheets in no time.
He's a goner.
Hello, and welcome to the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long.
Oh.
Oh.
It's called the podcast.
I'm your host, Mr. Christopher Walken. I'm joined today by a good friend, Irfan Elijah. How are you doing, Irfan?
Oh, so well. Hey, thanks for giving me back my watch.
Oh, yeah, well, it was your father's. He died of dysentery. And I'm also joined by another illustrious gentleman, Buster Hein.
What was that?
Buster Hein.
Buster Hein's here. Hey, Buster.
Hey, Mr. Walken.
Mr. Walken, I thought you were doing like a Japanese impression from the way you spoke.
No. His name is Buster Hein. And then I'm also joined by another fantastic gentleman. His smile is radiant, his eyes piercing, his suits sexy. Alex Heath. Oh, hello, Mr. Walken.
Hey, Alex, you're there too?
Yeah.
Are you guys sharing the mic?
Yeah, he's over here. We're just Aerosmith
style.
Hanging out. Get off my lap. Come on, walk. Oh,
man. We are so fortunate to have him as one of our biggest fans.
It's amazing. It really is.
Oh, gosh, I had no idea that he was such an Apple fanboy.
I really am. I love the iPod.
He's into the iPod.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that had a big fan base still.
Yeah, he's
wow.
He's really into it.
Fantastic. Well, I thank Mr. Walken for doing that intro for him. I mean, just to make time to be on the show is just an honor in and of itself. Welcome to the CultCast, everyone. Such a great show we have planned for you today. Lots of great stories to talk about. We're going to be talking about the new Yosemite beta that just hot off the press went live. You can download it yourself. You don't even have to be a developer. And we're also going to be doing an all-new Get to Know Your Cultist. We've got some fun questions that our listeners have contributed. Some really fun questions. Probably one of the best group that we've gotten. Plus, we're going to be giving away some prizes to the people whose questions we chose. And I think you guys are going to like these prizes. Well, I hope you like them. They're not fancy. I'll just put them out there, but I think you're going to like them. If you're a CultCast listener, you've been listening for a while, I think you're going to enjoy it. Before we hop into all the show goodness, I want to thank our sponsor, lynda.com. That's LYNDA.com. With over 2,000 high-quality video courses taught by industry-leading experts, lynda.com will help you master virtually any application all on your own time and at your own pace. Learn all you want for free with a 7-day free trial at lynda.com/cultcast. That's LYNDA.com. Thank you, Lynda, for sponsoring. And also, I want to thank Oyster Books for supporting this episode. I have thoroughly been enjoying my subscription to Oyster Books. Think of them like the Netflix of books or the Spotify of books. That's because when you sign up, you get unlimited access to their gargantuan book library. This is over 500,000 titles, including New York Times bestsellers, independent publishers, major publishers like Simon & Schuster. In fact, I'm reading some pretty big books right now. I'm reading the Steve Martin biography, the Carrie Fisher biography, and a business book called Entree Leadership by Dave Ramsey. They have a lot of popular books on there, guys. And the great thing is their app is really beautiful. It's intuitive to use, and it works on your iPad, it works on your iPhone, and even works on your Android device. So you can read on practically any device you own. Now, here's what's cool. When you sign up, you're going to get 30 days free. So you could try it out, you can use it, You can decide whether or not you want to keep it going. But if you're a reader, I think you're going to, because the service is such a great value. For only $10 a month, you get access to so many good books. And as soon as you start browsing their library, you're going to start pinpointing stuff that you've wanted to read. Maybe you saw in the past, but you never kind of got around to. And with Oyster, there's no guilt if you don't finish a book. If you start one and you don't like it, it doesn't matter, because you're not paying for each individual book. So check it out yourself. Head on over to oysterbooks.com/cultcast. As I said, you'll get 30 days free. And I want to thank Oyster for supporting this episode. All right, guys, you guys are still with me?
Oh, yeah.
Shiz, yeah. I just dropped my pen and landed right on my Mac. Mm. I have a freaking pen mark on my Mac.
Walken brought oysters down here.
You're the...
yeah, I think he heard about the ad.
He must have left before it was finished.
Oh, Slurpee.
Let's start with this, Alex. The Yosemite beta went public today.
Today.
That's right. So if you're listening to this, you can access the Yosemite beta, although I wonder how many people will actually get to download it, because it kind of seems like they're only going to let a select number.
I think it's a million. Isn't it, Buster, a million?
That's what I heard, too.
Yeah, 1 million.
A milli, as Will Wayne would say.
So how does one go about signing up?
You go to Apple's website, and there's a link to like the beta program page. You put in
Is it on the main page?
Let me look.
Don't mislead our readers.
I won't mislead them intentionally.
We do it unintentionally quite often.
Yeah, I'll do it. I do it that unintentionally all the time.
Yeah, I don't see anything on their main page,
okay,
Buster.
You know what? Okay, well, there's a link. You go to it. You just go to an article that I wrote today about how to get it. And it's
You just go to cultamac.com. It'll be on the first page or two.
Search for Yosemite public beta. You'll find
it's the OS X beta program. Appleseed is what it's called. So Google that or go to cultamac or do both.
You guys are already running the beta, aren't you?
I haven't.
Good.
The recommendation is also look at another post about how to install it, because you need to set up a partition and have it separate from your main setup, because it's really still buggy and you don't want it as your main OS right now. Not until like the Golden Master comes out in a month or so, probably 2 months actually.
So probably not for the faint of heart, the beta.
Yeah, it's don't expect everything to work.
Yeah, I think that's important to to emphasize, because I think people expect this to be like a fully working operating system. Yeah, and it's really buggy. I mean, Leander hasn't even been able to be on the show for like a month because none of his stuff works. Also, he's on vacation. but still, when he first installed this stuff, he couldn't even use Skype. So stuff will definitely break. Any other details about that, Alex?
About the Yosemite beta?
Yeah.
Not really. I think they're supposed to have another developer beta. You're going to be behind the developer beta, because they're still doing the separate developer beta for people that are registered developers. So the public beta, I think, is going to be like a version behind, even though I think it's technically a version ahead right now. So, but there should be a couple updates coming, you know, over the next few weeks.
Nice.
And then you'll just be able to upgrade to the final version, you know, on the setup you have when it's ready.
Yeah, when it's ready in who knows how long. We're thinking
it's crazy how Apple's like... Yeah, but isn't it, I think the last time Apple did a public beta was 2000 for the original OS X, and it costs like $20 or $30. I'm not sure on that number, but it's just crazy.
You had to pay to do the public beta?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah, and isn't it just...
Who makes you pay to do a beta?
Well, I mean, I don't know. It was Apple. But isn't that bizarre that like 14 years later, they're finally doing a public beta? And I hate the whole, like, it would have never happened under Steve Jobs, but I honestly don't know if Steve Jobs would have ever...
There's a lot of stuff happening right now that I feel like wouldn't happen if Steve Jobs were still alive. I don't mean that as a good or a bad thing, but just, like, the partnership with IBM and Apple buying Beats, and there's some things I just kind of wonder.
They don't have a public beta of iOS 8, which I don't think they'll do that for a while, hopefully.
That probably makes sense, because they don't want it to brick your phone, and then you're right up in the Apple store complaining that their software broke your phone. Speaking of testing out apps, are you guys Star Trek fans?
You know, the new ones. That's okay. It.
You guys aren't a fan of William Shatner, though, and the...
I love William Shatner.
I like Leonard Nimoy. He's pretty cool.
Leonard Nimoy is one of my favorite people. Say no ill of him on my watch.
Is William Shatner the Priceline guy?
Yeah.
That's pretty much his claim to fame, Alex.
I know it's not his claim to fame, but that's his most recent thing.
I think that's what got him his billions of dollars was Priest Line. Because he's one of the most charismatic people, and especially one of my favorite celebrities. And I just thought this was really interesting. I wanted to drop this out there. William Shatner is 83 years old. And no. I ran across his Tumblr. He has a Tumblr.
83.
He's not what?
He does not look 83.
He doesn't look 83. I know. He's the same age as Leonard Nimoy, and Leonard Nimoy looks like he's like 115.
Yeah. William Shatner looks like he's in his mid-60s.
Yeah. Well, when you have that kind of Priceline cash, I mean, he's probably getting his face reconstructed every several months.
Like sprightly 64 or something.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you saw him at a club, you'd probably dance with him. You would never know he was an older gentleman.
I would let him do things to me.
That's a different show, Alex. In any case, William has his own Tumblr, and he was reviewing a Facebook app. Apparently, he got access to some new Facebook app that you have to be a celebrity to use, according to his Tumblr. Yeah. And he was reviewing it, and I just thought this was incredible. I mean, this guy is more active on Twitter than most of the technocrats I follow. He's super charismatic on Twitter, just holds regular conversations, and now he has his own Tumblr. So if you're a Star Trek fan, if you're a William Shatner fan, and you want to read his review of Facebook apps, and who knows what else he's going to put there, I think this Tumblr is fairly new. I think it started at like a month ago. Just head on over to williamshatner.tumblr.com. I'm kind of wondering, though, if this is the real deal, if this is actually him. It certainly reads like him.
No, it's definitely him.
You know, he has a very, he's like Christopher Walken. He's got a very particular way to the way he speaks.
Shatner's my homie.
Oh yeah. You should check out his Tumblr, Mr. Walken. I think you're going to enjoy it. Let's talk about Microsoft for a moment. You might think that we're going to be talking about the layoffs and all that stuff. We're not. I thought this was interesting. I was reading an article recently, and apparently Microsoft is going to start, if they haven't already, really getting serious about design. And I just wanted to hear what your guys' thoughts, if any, might be on this topic. They have hired up to about 1,400 designers to help them really focus on creating cool new products, like hardware products. And, you know, before Microsoft was really an engineering-driven company, and now they're taking design, it seems to be, much more seriously. In fact, Joe Belfiore, Microsoft's vice president, who oversees personal computers and tablets and iPhones, said it used to be that engineers ruled the roost and engineers would bring in designers to make icons. That's changed now. It seems like Microsoft is becoming a lot more like Apple.
Or they want to be.
Or they seriously want to be.
Isn't that a lot of designers? I feel like, you know, isn't Johnny Ive's design team, like his main design team, just like 12 people or something like
probably.
That?
Probably. But their main design team probably only handles a handful of computers and a couple of phones.
Uh-huh. True.
And Microsoft has an so Xbox. Many different products. Actually,
and some mice.
Come to think of it,
mice. What else?
They're going to have the best mice tablet. In the business. That's a good point, actually. They don't really have that many hardware products.
Yeah, so it's like maybe they're going to do some, there they want to do some crazy stuff, which I think they have to make some pretty drastic actions at this point.
The Xbox One is actually a great product, even though it may not be selling super well.
Is the PlayStation 4 cheaper?
Not anymore.
Okay.
It was
because I saw
it
without
launched.
The Kinect now, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It used to be $4.99 that included the Kinect, and now
which
you
is like
it.
It's like Apple being like, yeah, we had a few months later decided to sell the iPhone without iOS.
So it's just basically a device that you can't turn on.
Yeah.
Well, it's just like wasn't the Kinect was like Xbox's like, you know, thing. That was like their main selling point.
That definitely was their big thing. Yeah.
Obviously it didn't work.
I thought that the Kinect was a great idea, but I also thought the Kinect was going to work a little bit more reliably than it has. I like the Kinect. I have one. I have the Xbox One. And when it's on and you're using it to actually navigate menus in the Xbox, it works pretty well. But oftentimes it makes mistakes, or it will think that you're trying to move something with your hand when you're not even using your hand to make motions or anything. Like, so that can be kind of annoying. But in any case, it's a great product. I really like it a lot. And in the next 5 to 10 years, wouldn't it be crazy if Microsoft kind of started getting cool again? Can you guys imagine a future where Microsoft is cool?
See, I can't. And that's the thing is I feel like Microsoft's in kind of like in trouble a bit, you know?
Why is that?
I don't know. I feel like they don't really have a foothold in anything. So they really like for the next, they are kind of going to struggle for the next 5 years to find some way to become successful again.
Yeah. Well, what's interesting is I think that they have great success in areas where they've always had great success, operating systems and then Office. Mm-hmm. But as far as consumer devices, phones, tablets, those obviously aren't doing very well. And Apple is so far ahead, I kind of wonder if they will be able to catch up. But see, they're on top as far as video game consoles.
Yeah, but video game consoles only go only so three. Far so far when like the right. future is smartphones and tablets and wearables, and they're, you know, nowhere to be found on any of them. I think it should be concerning for Microsoft fans.
Well, I think it's funny too is how they're going to make inroads at the financial call, which happened this week, and we're not going to really talk very much about it, but Tim Cook mentioned satisfaction ratings for the new iPads, and he said the iPad Air had like a 97% satisfaction rating, and the iPad Mini had 100% satisfaction rating.
Yeah. Well, Apple's always had the highest customer sat ratings in the industry.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's not, yeah.
Have you ever met someone who got an iPad and didn't love it and ended up returning it? I have never met that person. You know, it's like once they get it. Whereas I've heard people buy services and then they end up being less than enthused about it.
Same with like Kindles.
You mean people that love their Kindles? They all
Heard some people have bought like a Kindle Fire and not like that either.
I've heard the same thing. Yeah, but, I've heard the same thing. Anyway, not to wax on too long about Microsoft, but I thought that was interesting because a lot of companies poke fun at Apple, and now it seems like a lot of them are kind of trying to copy the same model, you know, and create their own products. So it'll be interesting to see what comes out of Microsoft in the next 5 to 10, especially as far as phones go, since they bought Nokia. Speaking of phones, let's talk about Apple's mobile payment solution, Alex.
Yeah.
You wrote the story on this. I thought this was really, really cool, and we've talked about Apple potentially releasing like a wallet type app in the future.
Mm-hmm.
But some new news came out recently. Yeah, right. From Passbook. Why don't you give us the deets on their rumored new mobile payment solution?
Yeah, sure. The Information has a new report that Apple's talks with payment industry people has been heating up recently, and that they're saying they could even maybe have it ready for the iPhone 6, you know, in September. So, pretty interesting. I mean, there's been a lot of rumors surrounding this mobile payment thing for a while in terms of like, think how Square does it, where you can use your iPhone to pay for, you know, real stuff.
Have you ever tried to do that with Square?
Oh yeah. There's a lot of like local coffee shops and places like that around me that use Square. But I mean, you still have to, you know, I still give them my card, you know, they just handle the transactions with their iOS devices.
Oh yeah. With like a Square
right
system.
Like
yeah,
a reader, okay. Right. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Where this is like you would never have to exchange anything. So the idea is there was a concept design recently that was really cool called like Easy Pay, where the like using iBeacon or something like that, you would get your transaction or your what you're buying sent to your phone, where you could look over it, approve it, and by approving it with your fingerprint, you would approve the transaction, and it would just happen right there on your phone.
That would be seriously cool.
Wouldn't that be awesome? Like if you're at the grocery or wherever, it's like when you're at the grocery store and you're, you know, scanning things in at Wally World. Each time you scan it in, instead of going to the helpful little machine in front of you, it's going to your iPhone. And then you just confirm it all right there, and it pays with your Apple ID. So that's, I think, kind of the idea. And Apple's been telling these payment executives that they've got, you know, that the financial data is going to be stored on a secure area in the phone, which they already have, which is the secure Enclave. Yeah, the Touch ID uses to store your fingerprint data. And Tim Cook even said on an earnings call at the beginning of the year that mobile payments was one of the main reasons they invented Touch ID, was that they had that in mind for it, which was a very unusually forward-thinking, like, here's what we're going to do statement from Apple to say that. So seems pretty clear that that's how it's going to work, and Touch ID is kind of the key to it. So I think we'll see Touch ID on just about everything. It's supposed to be in the new iPads, obviously, the new iPhones. I would make sense for it to eventually come to the Mac, in my mind.
That would be really awesome, yeah, if they were able to build it in so that you didn't have to enter your passwords or anything anymore.
Right.
That would be incredible. It would be awesome to not have your credit cards, not have to carry all your cards around with you everywhere.
Your phone is your wallet.
Exactly. Your phone is your wallet. Everything happens on your phone. You don't have to.
And they've got that emergency. They've got that emergency card thing in HealthBook now, or Health, whatever it's called, where you have all your personal information too. So I mean, it's literally everything. It's got your. It could potentially have your everything. You know, your social security. I mean, anything you need.
Let me ask you guys this, though. Let's say Apple does make inroads and makes it so that people can pay with their phones everywhere. Mm-hmm. Are you guys worried that someone will not only steal your phone, but try to take your finger as well?
I don't know.
Give me your phone. You're like, no, man. All right, take it. Give me your finger. Oh. And they got to chop your finger off so they can run around town buying stuff.
Hmm.
No? You don't think that's realistic? I might stick with my wallet for now. Yeah. Let's talk about iPhones next. We have some iPhone rumors to cover this week. But actually, before we do that, I want to take a quick moment to thank our sponsor, Lynda.com. I love Lynda.com. It's Lynda.com because I love to learn. You guys know that I love to learn. I love to learn new things. In fact, I recently used Lynda.com and am still in the process of using Lynda.com to learn how to use Logic to edit the show. I was previously using GarageBand, but I needed something a little bit more powerful. Decided to get out of the editing diapers, if you will, and become a big boy. And I've used Lynda.com to totally switch from one application to the other. It was very seamless because Lynda.com walks you through everything. When you start learning a new application, the very beginning on how to use the menu systems, what different features in all these different apps do, and then how to go about through the different workflows and actually learn how to use this app in everyday life. But not only do they teach you how to use apps, Lynda.com teaches about business. They teach about design. And one of the cool things that they have recently started doing is creating curated playlists. So their expert instructors create playlists on topics that you could learn about. For example, you could learn design page layouts or how to create good user experiences. By the way, great paying job if you can master that. Drawing for the designers, iOS development, core, how to edit with Final Cut Pro X. These are all topics that you can just click on Lynda's Playlist Center, and Lynda.com will walk you through the entire topic, and it will go through different courses, show you all the different videos that you need to watch, so you can master these kinds of topics and also the applications that they require. Check it out yourself. I think you're really going to like it if you're trying to learn a new skill, if you're trying to learn a new application. One of the best ways that I know to do that is on Lynda.com, Lynda.com/cultcast, Lynda.com/cultcast, I should say. And when you head on over there, you'll get a free 7-day trial to learn all you want. So go check it out. I want to thank Lynda for sponsoring this episode. Where were we? Aha! iPhone. So, Alex, I'm going back to you. I just love talking to you. Let's just go back to you on this one. Mm. Apparently, Apple is having some problems with the 5.5-inch model, or the reported, rumored 5.5-inch model iPhone. Even though they're expecting an insane amount of people to be ordering these things.
They ordered 80 million, 70 to 80 million.
Was that just of the smaller?
No, that's of both. Okay. But, I mean, for the... To put that in perspective, I think they ordered 50 to 60 million. And the huge discrepancy there is for like yield rates, like, because, you know, a lot of phones that come off the line end up not being able to be used. So they have
because
to
of
have
the
some
issues they're having, right?
Yeah, especially they have to have some wiggle room in the supply chain, but that's still an insane amount of phones, especially if the 5.5 inch comes out late. You know, if it comes out right before Christmas, like people are saying.
Well, I'm glad you brought that out because that brought that up because that's weird to me. I mean, it seems weird that they would launch a 4.7 and then several months later.
Yeah, it would be kind of a douche move, wouldn't it? Like, here's this new phone.
They would have to tell you about it up front. They'd have to
say, maybe they announce them both together and say, you know, this one's available immediately, this other one's coming in a couple months. That would be the fair way to do it.
That's what I think they would do most likely.
Yeah, because I mean that would be such a move, man. It's like, because if you want the bigger phone, but you don't know if it's coming out in the 4.7, you could be tempted to just do the 4.7. It's not like an iPad where, you know, you can just sell it and get, you know, you got a 2-year contract. Right. So they can't screw people over that bad. So it seems like if it's going to be within, you know, 2 months even or 3 months of the 4.7 inch, that they'll have to announce them together. So that would probably be September. It's looking like mid-September.
I'm thinking about buying my next iPhone just straight up. No, straight
dude, that's what I did. What I did last year. Actually, no, that's not the year before when I got the 5, I bought it full off contract, which actually worked out.
Did they sell it off contract right off the bat or did they make
people they did.
Okay.
At AT&T, yeah.
How much was it? I almost
it was
don't
a lot.
Know.
It's like almost 700, man.
Yep.
Really? But which one did you get? The 32 or the 16?
16.
Dang.
Yeah, I mean it's like 640 retail, I think, or something.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a lot up front, but really you're saving money, especially if you're going to be trading in your phone once a year. You save a lot of money to buy off contract in the long run because the resale value.
What's that?
Is the resale value of those unlocked iPhones is so high.
I guess that's true. It's unlocked.
Oh man, dude, and if you can get it, like I got mine with Chronic Unlocks, I got the SIM unlocked, so you can swap out the SIM and like go international with it. So that makes the resale value even higher. So
yeah, if you can sell that thing to Russia for like 1,200 ruples.
Sell it to my bro Putin, man. He's going to be needing a burner phone.
He's going to need to have several phones.
He's going
to
be on the run soon.
The NSA. That's right.
That's Elisa. The NSA is Elisa, his problem. There's a tremendous resale value to those. I mean, you could sell one a year later for like $400 or $500.
That's usually what I do is I sell it on Craigslist. And
but you know what I did this year is I got it with contract for only like $199, knowing that I think I'm going to break my AT&T contract finally.
You
know why? Because the other carriers will pay you to come over.
So you're going to switch to another carrier.
Might go to T-Mobile because they'll pay my my ETF.
Yeah, but then you won't be able to make any phone calls for the next 2 years.
I never make phone calls, man.
I never make phone calls either, actually. So maybe that doesn't matter. But I don't know what their network is like in your neck of the woods.
They're not that bad here
in the woods, but over here it's not that great.
Yeah, they're probably not. It's probably not that great of an idea.
As long as they have LTE, I guess I'll be okay.
The only reason I'm on AT&T is because I'm still grandfathered into the unlimited plan.
Yeah,
but how much longer is that going to last? I mean, really,
you guys are still holding on to that, huh?
Oh yeah, man,
dude. I have never in all these
music all day every day.
Yeah, exactly. After like all these years of owning an iPhone, I've never once had to worry about data. Like I've never once had to think, oh, I should turn my data off or I should not stream that because I'm on cellular. Right. Like it's never even had to cross my mind.
I don't know if AT&T is still doing this deal, but a while back, probably about 8 months ago, I switched over to they had this special friends and family plan that was $160 a month and it included 10 gigabytes of data. And 10 gigabytes doesn't sound like a lot. I know some people out there probably blow through that, but I was not getting past 2 or 3 every month. So I gathered a bunch of friends and family. We're all on the same plan. And we each end up spending $40 a month for our cell phone bill. Plus,
yeah,
we get
if you're
to tether.
Sharing it.
And tethering's a big plus. You guys probably can't do that with your plans, can you?
I can't. Yeah. You're right.
Yeah, that's really awesome. And, you know, once Yosemite comes out and you're able to automatically create that wireless connection with your computer, guess who won't be able to use it? You, Alex.
You know what, man?
How much data do you use every month? Honestly?
I'll keep my unlimited for 30 versus the...
How much data do you use each month?
I don't know. I need to install an app and start logging it, especially
AT&T will tell you. Just look at their
app.
I bet you're not using more than 2 or 3 gigs.
I'm probably not. I stream, though, all the time. I'm always streaming Spotify or, like, downloading podcasts over cellular.
Me too.
I feel like my Spotify alone has to be 2 gigs.
I doubt it. Spotify does not use that much bandwidth.
I don't know,
it really doesn't, because I stream Spotify all the time too, and I also download podcasts, and I wasn't breaking 2 gigs a month. And now when I watch YouTube videos, like on the bus, sometimes I'll watch, you know, YouTube videos, like if Robin Thicke has a hot new cut on YouTube, boom. YouTube watching it. Drink up the data.
Did you see his new album only sold like 7,000 copies or something?
Ouch, really? I heard he was pretty much just crying to get his wife
back. Yeah, it's like his ex-wife.
Oh, and
it sold like literally like like a few thousand. I think it might have actually been 700 in the UK. Like it was like literally.
You mean like literally 700 albums?
Yes.
So sad.
I'll have to check it out on Spotify. I heard one song off it. It actually sounded pretty good.
Oh yeah.
Even though I'm not a huge Robin Thicke fan, even though it seems like I would be.
He has a very positive attitude towards women, which I appreciate.
Oh really? I was gonna say that's what I don't like about him.
Oh, okay.
I prefer more like Snoop Dogg circa 1992, where he's like spraying them with 40s. I'm joking, by the way. Please don't write me any mean emails. I have nothing but the highest respect for women.
One star rating.
One star rating. No, I'm very respectful to all women. I mean, you guys know me. I'm like the most respectful guy. Even when I should be mean, I'm not. Buster's the mean one. Okay, let's move on before I dig myself any deeper. This was a really cool rumor, and I hope this ends up being true. Are you agreeing with? Is that Cy in agreement?
I don't think it will be.
So there was a some photos that were quote unquote leaked by Sonny Dixon, who has had kind of a mixed record with being accurate and not accurate. But for the most part, I'd say he gets his hands on some good stuff sometimes. And it showed, you know, that little Apple logo on the back of your phone. It showed that area being covered with plastic for some type of, you know, translucent material on the new iPhone, which led people to speculate that the Apple logo on the back of the new iPhone is actually going to be able to show light through it like your MacBook does. And the reason this makes sense to me is because it seems like it wouldn't be technically all that hard to do. And plus, they already do it on the MacBook. Why wouldn't they do it on your phone?
Uh-huh.
That's all I got. I just think it would be cool.
Oh. It would be cool. But I think it's more for antenna reasons is really why they do that. And they actually already do it on the iPad, the same manufacturing style.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just put a nicer logo on the back of the iPad. So I'm thinking that's probably what it's for.
So you don't think that it's going to be able to show the light through?
I think it would be cool, but I don't think it's going to happen because there's no real advantage to it.
Yeah, it is, man. If I get a Snapchat, I want my logo to glow.
Oh, so.
But you can do that. They should just allow you to do that with the flash on the back of your phone anyway. There's already a light on the back there.
Yeah, but that's like BlackBerry.
Oh, you mean like the flash?
Yeah,
dude,
yeah.
Dude, that's so
no, like
shinzy.
a really
I want
bright
my Apple logo to pulse.
I do.
I want it to pulse and go.
I think that would be, out of all the rumors we've heard, the big screen one, which seems to be kind of panning out, is my favorite. I think this is probably my second favorite.
The glowing logo, huh?
Yeah, I would love to have a glowing logo on my next iPhone. I think that'd be really cool. It's one of my favorite features about my Mac too. So I think that would be cool. what else we got on iPhones? Oh gosh, here we go. Website USwitch is saying that the clear logo on the back of the iPhone can be used for NFC transmission.
Oh, another one.
When are people gonna let this go? Every single iteration we talk about NFC. And I don't think we're ever gonna see NFC on an iPhone. Why would we get it? Apple doesn't really seem to have any reason to build it in. There's no place you can use NFC to pay for anything. Except for the gas station. Yeah.
I agree, man. I mean, NFC was supposed to take off like 4 years ago. Apple could have done it back then. There's no reason for it to do it now.
And sometimes they make weird decisions to not even put useful stuff into some of their hardware, like Blu-ray players on the Mac, right? You can't even get a Blu-ray player, which is ubiquitous now. Like, why would they build an NFC just because Android has it? You know, like, Apple doesn't care about that. It would have to be, you know, innately useful in order for them to actually build it in. So I don't think we're going to see that either, but I don't think anyone's going to miss it. Let's move on to iOS 8, Buster.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the new stuff in the beta 4.
Yeah, there was a beta that came out this week. There wasn't a lot of new stuff. You know, there was, oh, there's a new tips app. That's tips. Exciting. Yeah.
Just the tips.
Is this an app that I would use in Vegas?
No, it's an app like your mom or your grandma or your dad would use to like learn how to send an iMessage or manage their email.
It's literally iPhone tips. Right?
Yeah,
that's what it does. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
It's exciting.
Yeah, that's about it, to be honest. They changed Control Center. At first, I really hated it. They threw out all the lines, and now it's just, you know, shadows and blurs.
Mm-hmm.
But now that I've used it, it's kind of like it's cleaner, and I kind of actually like it. Other than that, there's really not too much stuff.
Yeah, I'm looking at the photos of the gifts you posted. These gifts are great, too, by the way.
Thanks.
What do you use to make all these gifts?
Gift Brewery.
Is it an app on your Mac?
Yeah.
Really? And then do you have to plug in your iPhone in order to do these, or?
No, I AirPlay it to my Mac.
Really?
Yeah.
Good idea, dude.
It's nice. You use Reflector and then Gift Brewery.
Yep, and then record the screen with QuickTime.
So you use Reflector to send your iPhone to your Mac and then Gift Brewery to record what you're doing?
I use QuickTime to record the screen. And then I save the video and then open it with Gift Brewery to cut out the snip.
Time-consuming.
I've gotten so used to it. Like, I'll just like do all the actions and make one video, and then you can just cut it up real quick into GIFs.
These are super, super useful for when you're actually creating like what's new and iOS 8, though.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay, cool. So nothing really big that to report there, huh?
Not really.
Okay. Let's wrap up with this story before we move on to get to know your cultist. I thought this was kind of a glimpse of the future. Apparently, there's a company called InMarket who has been having great success installing iBeacons in particular grocery stores. They've been trying to figure out a way to sell more sausage.
Sausage?
Yeah. I mean, who doesn't love sausage, right? I'm a huge fan of sausage, and I love getting sausage coupons. So they were discovering that, I don't know how they figured this out, but that their consumers were not the types of people that wanted to clip coupons and go into a grocery store and use the coupons. So they installed iBeacons in a grocery store or a chain of grocery stores. And iBeacons, as you probably know, are very good at telling where you are in the store. So they are able to create geofences so that, as I understand it, when consumers got near the sausages, their phone would alert them to some type of coupon or some type of rebate that would you know, urge these people to go and buy these sausages. Well, they were successful, and they increased sales 20 times for this particular brand of sausage by serving up real-time, you know, in-person ads. This is the wave of the future. We're going to start seeing this everywhere. I think it's just going to be a matter of time before we joke about how it's going to be like Minority Report. Uh-huh. I think it's honestly going to be like Minority Report, except the problem is once you go somewhere that has these things set up everywhere, they're going to start advertising to you left and right. Like, you're going to get advertisements everywhere you go. Your phone's always going to be buzzing, I think.
I don't know if I'm going to like that.
I don't think I'm going to like it either.
I don't think the way iBeacon works that'll happen, because I think right now you need to have an app installed that, like, if you're in Macy's, I don't even know if Macy's has an app, but you need to have the Macy's app installed for it to be able to push you iBeacon notifications.
So you're saying, unless you willingly kind of opted into this.
Right. So like, the reason you get a notification when you walk into the Apple store is because you have the Apple store app installed.
Oh, so it has to come from the app itself. Yeah, I know exactly what
you're saying. So like, when you walk into Starbucks, and you know how iOS 8 has that, it'll show you the icon for the where you are in the lock screen on the corner. Mm-hmm. It's not going to show you the Starbucks app unless you have it.
Gotcha. So really, you would only get iBeacons for places where you wanted to receive notifications. Okay, that's much better.
Right.
I was just imagining my phone buzzing every 10 seconds. Get a free sausage. Get a free freaking MacBook Pro case. Get this. Get that.
The scenario you described before sounds like something Google might do.
Oh.
But not Apple.
Because Apple's not in that game. Google would totally spam you to death.
Yeah, they're going to be tracking your every movement once you go into one of those places.
Right. And then they'd serve you ads based on the panties you just bought.
Whoa. You know an awful lot about my buying behaviors. That's very strange that you went there. Wow. Crazy. On the plus side, I think that it's really cool to actually get ads to things that you want to buy anyway, or coupons for things that you want to buy. Like if you're in Macy's and you're going to be buying jeans.
Exactly.
And it serves up, you get 20% off today.
If I'm in Macy's, I probably want to see a Macy's ad. Like I want to see a Macy's coupon, you know?
I just want to see sausage coupons no matter where I am. That's just all I want to see. I hope it works that way. I hope I can adjust the settings so that it works that way.
Yeah, to where it's all... just like wiener dogs.
Jimmy Dean.
Oscar Mayer.
Okay, let's go ahead and wrap up on the Apple stories and move on to one of my personal favorite segments, Get to Know Your Cultists. This is the segment where our listeners ask us questions that we get to answer, and they always come up with great questions, and I think this might be one of the best batches that we've got. So I mentioned earlier that we're going to be doing prizes. This is cool. So you guys remember our Cultcast party? Actually, maybe you don't.
No.
Maybe you don't remember it. Many ales were had that night, but what people that weren't there might not know is we had all the beers, which were totally free, by the way, served in a Cultcast koozie. So, you know, those little like neoprene koozies that keep your beers cold. Well, we actually have a lot of extras. In fact, I came home with a suitcase full of extra ones, and I've been dying for a way to figure out what to do with these things. So I thought we'd start giving these out as little prizes. So if we chose your question this week, here's how it's going to work. If you contributed your question on Twitter, ping me on Twitter. I'm at Erfon, E-R-F-O-N, and let me know that we picked your question, and I'll get your address from you, and I will send you one of these koozies totally free so that you can use it to keep your beer cold. And same on Facebook. Just message us on Facebook if we choose your question, and I'll get your address from you, and we can do it that way. Okay, with that said, let's start with a question from listener Carlo Borja. Hey, Carlo. How's it going? He says, how did you all start working for Leander? It would be a good discussion to hear everyone's Cultimac history. I think we've answered this previously.
Yeah, I feel like we talked about that one.
But maybe we could just kind of like give a refresher. Buster, what was your story?
I
used panhandling, to write, like, weren't you? And
yeah, I just wrote tips, or like, I sent Leander like an email on like a tip how to do something on Spotify, and it just kind of snowballed. Not been stuck.
Kinder's like, are you willing to work for free?
Yes, exactly. I'll publish this. I'll never tell you how much I'll pay you. What? Oh, you wanted money?
You wanted money? No, no, that's not going to happen. Okay, Alex, what about you?
It was a balmy day at the National Ribboning Convention.
Oh, you were at the Ribboning Convention.
I was there to observe
round.
The magic, and his ribbon like rubbed across my face at one point, just while he was swooping around, and from then on I don't remember.
he just magically,
I think, you know. I think he had something on the ribbon. It knocked me out. No, I actually did not interact with Leander at all. I think John was our deputy editor at the time, John Brownlee, and he tweeted that we needed writers, so I tweeted back, and that's how it started.
You were working for iDownload Blog at the time?
Yeah, and I did both for a while.
How did you get started on iDownload Blog?
I was reading articles. I was really into jailbreaking, and I was just reading articles about it and about just Apple in general. And I read some, I was such a geek about it in my RSS feed. Like, I just read like five different takes on it. And I was like, you know what? I could write this probably better than these people that I'm reading. So I would like, just as the douchey kid I was, I would like email Sebastian over at IDB and be like, hey, you all got this wrong. Like, this fact's wrong. You need to fact check more.
Hey, this isn't accurate.
You know what? Why don't you let me write for you? So,
and set them straight?
Yeah. So I wrote for free for a while and just kind of went from there.
Did you guys ever think that you would end up being writers for an Apple news website? Was this like childhood aspirations?
I feel like Buster wants to be like a caveman.
Yeah, I think that's probably true.
Like, Buster, he's like, in another life, you would be a Luddite.
A Luddite?
Yeah. Like you would be totally no technology, no electricity.
That's my rule on the weekends. Just as bare minimum as we could go. If I could get a white cloth on, that's all it needs.
You just retire to your cave with a typewriter?
Yeah.
You should move to Amish country.
Oh,
you look great in that outfit.
Hey, man.
You already got the beard.
We had plenty of those out here.
It's cool.
What's that?
As long as they let me ride a buggy, I'd be down with the Amish.
Yeah, for sure.
Did you not? I was getting gas a couple weeks ago, and there was a buggy in the gas station.
Oh, really?
What was it doing there?
Wasn't getting gas. I think they were getting
gas. Wouldn't that be funny? They're there with their horses, and they're filling it up with gas.
Yeah. Oh, like there's literally a buggy with horses, and a bunch of Amish people come out with like orange sodas.
Really? In Kentucky? They have an Amish community.
Oh, dude,
there?
The Amish community in Kentucky is
huge,
boom.
Huh? Wow.
We also have one of the largest, well, large. There's not that many. We have a really big Shaker Village in Kentucky. Mm. It's one of the last ones in America.
I don't even know what that means.
Shakers, they're like Amish people, like, except they don't believe in reproduction.
Like they were in like the beginning of like America.
Yeah,
they don't believe in reproduction.
No, they don't. So literally,
is that why their community is the smallest?
Exactly, and the only way they can live on is if they convert people.
Wow.
So they haven't been converting people, obviously, but they were big. Like, yeah, in the early days of American history, they were actually kind of at the forefront of modern medicine and agriculture when America was first getting set up, because they had this whole communal aspect that no one else had. Because when you became a Shaker, you had all these amazing benefits. They had doctors, they had seamstresses, they made this community of people where everybody did different jobs that wasn't going on at the time. So they offered a lot, but they also were like, yeah, but you can't be naughty.
Really? So you can't even partake of the reproduction?
Not at all. They're all apps.
You can't take it that way, huh? Jeez. No wonder their community is the smallest.
Yeah. So, it's very interesting stuff. It's,
okay.
Thought about joining at one point, but...
I think you should still consider it. I can picture you.
I need to give up.
I know times are tough. Maybe you should just call it quits.
That's what I'm thinking, man.
Okay, thank you for that question, Carlo. Let's move on to Jim Brune's question from Facebook. He says, what's your favorite food item and why? I already know yours, Buster.
What is it?
Oh, the burrito.
Oh, food item?
You are always munching on those burritos.
Oh, yes.
All the time. Is that it?
I would say, yeah, burrito. Although good burrito does not come from a fast food place.
Yeah. No. Where does it come from?
I don't know, like a sketchy...
Chipotle.
Well, I wouldn't say Chipotle's great,
Best. It's the best in the whole Qdoba Moe's world.
You got to go to like a really crappy place, you know, to find a good burrito.
Mm-hmm.
What?
The place that scares you and it's dirty. It's just way better that way.
Oh, do you go
like
to
old dogs walking around?
Yeah.
Buster, do you like El Sombrero out there?
El Sombrero. No, I don't know if I've ever been out there.
No, it's out in Arizona.
Sombreros?
Yeah, sombreros, yeah.
No, that's horrible. That's like...
Really?
Oh, Bell. Yeah.
I loved it when I went out there.
Alex, what's your favorite?
Probably In-N-Out.
Do you guys have those? You must have those in Kentucky.
No, we don't.
Oh, okay.
Dude, that's my jam. I just have
Isn't
it.
Isn't that like, terrible? We don't have it?
Yeah, we don't have it either.
Delicious.
Every time I'm out to California, that's the first thing is like, where's an In-N-Out?
Yeah, me too. That place is great. Although I wouldn't say it's my favorite. I'm going to have to go with just a big old wiener.
A big old wiener.
Have you ever been to Pink's in L.A.?
I've heard of it, but I've never gone.
Okay. I love hot dogs. This is probably so uncool of me to admit, but I love hot dogs. The bigger, the better. And Pink's looks like it. I mean, they have a variety of different hot dogs, but you can get like chili and bacon and sour cream and onion. And, you know, counterintuitively, like the more stuff that's on a hot dog, I think kind of the better it is. It kind of looks the best when it looks like a wild animal, you know, had diarrhea all over the top. It sounds unappetizing, but when it looks that way, you know, you're in for a treat. And Pink's has these just dirty hot dogs. They're just covered in beans and bacon. When I can't get one of those, because I don't live in California and we don't have any hot dog places up here in Seattle that are that good, I just go to Costco. Costco has great hot dogs. Do you guys have those down there?
Yeah, yeah.
They Dude, my mouth the is cheap watering
hot dogs
right now.
Too. Like, it's like a buck for a whole meal. It's awesome.
Do you guys have like the taco stands that they put, or not the taco, the hot dog stands when you know, like, you're out late at night and they have like the monster dogs out? Do you guys have those down there?
Oh, you mean like small vendors?
Yeah, like the kinds that always set up shop near bars at 2 a.m. on a Friday night.
No, we have taco stands. Yeah.
Okay. Oh man,
which is even better. Way better.
I don't know, man. There's nothing like a dirty dog.
Oh, dude, a dirty taco.
The dirtier, the better.
Like, it's delicious, and it cleans you out as well. It's like a colonic, you know?
That's our favorite foods. Of course, you could ask me tomorrow. It might change. Thank you to Jim Brune for that question. I think definitely our best question of the day was from Ben Ward. And he asked this, he said, if you could ride any animal into battle, what would it be and why? Keep in mind, the creature you choose would be scaled to the size of a horse.
Now, what kind of battle are we riding into? Like, do we have to win this battle, or do we just have to look cool?
I'm assuming that you have to win, or at least you'd want to stay alive. And I'm going to
stay alive. Okay.
I'm going to say that there's probably a lot of swords involved, so there's not going to be, like, predator drones. Or tanks or anything.
But does this have to be a real animal?
He didn't say it. You had to be a real animal. He just said any animal. So I'm going to go with no.
No. Well, then, I guess a dinosaur wouldn't be that cool.
But it's scaled down to a horse.
Well, exactly. Okay, that's what I was thinking. Scaled down to a horse.
Yeah, yeah, so which exactly. Dinosaur would you ride in?
Although a velociraptor horse size would be cool. Although a Komodo dragon would be kind of cool. But I would probably say a platypus.
Oh, that would be great.
A platypus-sized horse, or a horse-sized platypus, would just be really awesome.
It's going to be a land and water vehicle, too.
Yeah, exactly.
you can battle on both air and sea, or ground and sea. That's genius. I hadn't thought about that. Plus, everyone would be laughing at you so much, they probably wouldn't think to attack you.
Exactly. He's going to whack you in the face
until he came by with his beak and pulled your head off. Okay, Alex, you want to go next?
Dude, I'm it's a toss up for me between a tarantula scaled up to a horse.
Oh, I wouldn't want to get near one of those things.
Exactly, dude, it'd be ballin'. or a giant bald eagle scaled to a horse. Cuz you'd be flying, and like, I don't know if you've seen Lord of the Rings, but those things do damage.
They do. True.
Wait, what was your second one?
A bald eagle that's the size of a horse.
Bald eagle too. Yeah, that would be pretty cool.
Because you just swoop down and those eagles go to town, man.
Yeah, you would be unstoppable too. Not quite as cuddly as a platypus. But I was thinking maybe, since we could go fictional, I would go with Falcor from The Neverending Story.
Falcor?
Yeah, do you guys remember that movie?
I remember the movie. Oh, okay. But he's like... not as big as he's way bigger than a dog or a horse.
He would have to be scaled down. Yeah. But he's a Lux dragon.
What's
so
it
not
called?
Only, The Neverending Story. You haven't heard of it? It's a movie.
Is that perverted looking dinosaur?
No. I honestly don't know what you're thinking of, but he doesn't look like a dinosaur.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Oh my gosh. This dude.
The white,
he scarred
the white
me
dragon?
For life as a child, man.
Oh, what do you mean? He's nice. Gosh. He's the Lux dragon.
Have you seen, like, somebody went through and took out all the innuendos that are in that movie?
Oh, like,
and
with
it's
him, like making facial
it's
expressions
glaring.
As a kid?
Like, it's like, it's child predator level innuendo in that movie that's, like, sickening. And it's just oh, man, that scares me.
You know what else I would consider is a sloth, a giant sloth.
Oh, that would be awesome.
So you move the slowest?
Well, we could just hang out in the tree and wait for the battle to be over.
Throw poop.
But you're right. It's probably not a good battle companion. It would have to be a really highly aggressive sloth.
Dude, but those sloths, they have some nasty claws, man.
They
I
do
would
have really long claws.
Yeah.
And you would never think, kind of like the platypus, it would seem so benign that you probably wouldn't think to attack it until it came and just like pulled your arms off. I'm looking at a picture of a sloth right now on the internet. He's just smiling. I'm going to send this to you guys. All right. Cool. Hey, thanks for all the great questions, listeners. If you want to contribute questions the next time, we always ask for people's thoughts and ideas on our Facebook page, facebook.com/TheOccultCast. And you can always tweet them at us. tweet them at us, rather. And of course, if you had your question picked today, make sure you reach out to me on the medium in which you delivered your question, and I will get you your very own cult cast koozie. I might even send you a couple. Make sure you reach out to me. Should we go ahead and wrap it up there, guys?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, look who's back.
Oh.
Mr. Walken, do you want to take us out?
The click wheel on this iPod is amazing. I've just been clicking and clicking.
Yeah, why don't you go ahead and take us out, Mr. Walken, if you don't mind.
Well, this has been the Cultcast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long.
It really likes to whisper.
I'm your host, Christopher Walken, and we'll see you.
Tell them about the new episodes coming out.
Oh, yeah. It's coming out every Thursday night. And you can follow us all on Twitter. Irfan is at Irfan. Buster is at BST3R. And Alex is at AlexHeHeath. I'm not on Twitter.
You should be, though, for sure.
So this has been the Cultcast. We'll see you this time next week. Bye.
That was rough. That was rough. Mr. Walken,
we're going to give you a script for next time.
This week on Sexy Beer Chat with Buster Hine.
Buster, do you know this Mixtures guy? Is he in your area?
I don't know him. I know like one of my friends. He played in like a band with him. Or something.
So you didn't interview him in person?
Yeah. We went and got sushi together. Sexy.
Oh, nice.
Sexy. Our beards intertwined. It's magic.
Dude, his beard is something, I tell you.
Soft music started playing.
Mm-hmm.
Were you guys eating from the same noodle?
No, I refuse to do that.
I don't do that anymore either.
With your girlfriend?
It always ends poorly. With my pals.
Oh, you just get a mess all over, you know?
You share a bowl of spaghetti and you end up sucking on the same noodle.
I mean, it is pretty fun, though.